Hi there. Welcome to The Preventable, the podcast giving you a seat at the table with conversations about the intersection of alcohol, drugs, and mental health in everyday lives. Take a seat and join us.
Welcome to The Preventable. With me today is a relatively new friend who had the best t-shirt I've ever seen in my entire life, which we will talk about in a moment. But I am very grateful to have my new friend, Alex, on. Welcome to The Preventable.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Nicole. I'm really excited to be here.
We are really grateful you're here. We're, of course, grateful to our friends at Hubbard who allow us to come and do this. And we're in our fourth season, which is kind of nuts. But speaking of podcasts, you have a podcast.
I do, yes.
So your podcast is called No Lions Here, and you have a lot of episodes.
I think 67, I think I'm up to.
I mean, that's
a
lot.
That is a lot, actually. Yeah, it
that's
is.
That's a lot.
Yes.
So let's backtrack to how we met.
Yep.
So we were at the second annual Recovery Fest. Prevent Ed's there. We have a booth. Jim Murphy has been a three-peat guest on this show as he's the creator of Recovery Fest. So we were there in full presence. And I run into you, and I'm assuming your friend.
Is actually my sponsor.
Your sponsor. Okay.
Yep, actually my sponsor.
Who are wearing the most amazing t-shirt that I stopped you and got your picture, my picture with you all. And I have to tell you, I sent it to my... some of my staff who get me, but then I also send it to some of my friends because I like struggle in the dating world finding emotionally available people who have healthy relationships with substances and really have been open about my codependency issues and whatever. And so I see this shirt and I'm just like, oh my God. And my friend, I hope this is okay to tell you, but my friend is like, run in the opposite direction. Like, do not flirt with this person. And I go, well, I've already given them my card to be on the podcast. And she's like, no. And I was like, no. Like, this is going to be great. Like, we're going to have a great conversation about healthy relationships and boundaries. So can you show everybody? Okay. Sober, single, emotionally available. It's the best shirt I've ever seen.
It's that we got so I really
it is the
wish,
best shirt I've ever seen.
I really wish that we would have known that this was going to be a hit because we would have made 30 of them
and
we
sold
would have sold
them.
All of them because everybody we saw kept coming up to us. Where can I buy that? Where can I buy that? And we're like, we didn't know because he made them and it was kind of like, are people going to get this? Are people not going to get this? Like, and as a sex addict, you know. It's kind of like, you know, in my head, I'm like, is this too needy? You know, it's like,
yeah,
but it actually, it played really well. And yeah.
Do you have a plan to sell the shirts?
Yes. Along with my podcast, you know, I eventually want to get into the merch game and this is going to be one of the first ones that I make. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I will be like the first customer because it's amazing. It's amazing.
You're going to get your shirt for free though.
Well, cool. Thank you. But what I loved is that you and your friend, now I know as your sponsor, are walking around with these shirts on, like very proud, like it was an attention grabber, but you also were very humble about it too. Hmm. And you're clearly at Recovery Fest. So it was a little tongue in cheek. I think most people who went to that event or go to those events, like, you have some level of self-awareness, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that you haven't always had that amount of self-awareness where you would be able to wear a shirt like that that says, like, hey, look at me. Or have you?
I mean, I've always definitely been the type that, like, I like the attention, but I also hate the attention as well. But, yes, I didn't really have... I've had some kind of an awareness always, but it really wasn't until the last, you know, 3 years being in recovery that awareness has really blossomed for me.
Awesome.
And that's the thing, you know, thanks to the program, the work that I'm doing on myself and just, you know, trying to stay sober.
Yeah. Your podcast, we should note, is No Lions Here.
Correct. Yes.
And help me understand the name. But
yeah.
Walk me through it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went to treatment out in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
Specifically for sexual addiction.
Okay.
Because I do have a cocaine addiction as well. However, my my core one is sex addiction, sex and love addiction. And so while we were out there, it was the model that they used was called TINSA, trauma-induced sexual addiction. And basically, we were going through the curriculum, and it was like, okay, guys, your brain basically saw your feelings and emotions as physical threats on your life. Hmm. And at one point in time, they're like, guys, there's no lions here. So there's no physical threats at all when you're feeling certain types of ways, whether that be anxiety, depression, loneliness, you know, there's nothing that's actually going to physically attack and hurt me, but my brain thought that there was. Hence where the addiction.
All of the defense mechanisms and all of that came up.
Wanting to escape, wanting to numb. So no lions here. Just kind of fit.
I love that, actually. And it makes so much sense, because whether it's drugs or sex or food or gambling or whatever, it is that defense mechanism, that coping mechanism when we're feeling attacked, when we're feeling less than, when we're feeling all the things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the name that you go by on your podcast is Big Panda.
Big Panda, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell everybody the story behind that.
So Big Panda came from treatment again. It was the last day of treatment, and all the therapists were going around, and it was a small group. It was only about 9 guys. They only let about 9 or 10 guys in at a time. And they were going around the room talking about everybody. And they got to me, and I know that at one point in time, the lead therapist, he would like pick on certain people in our group sessions. Mm. And he never did that to me. And I felt really left out and like sad about that. Like, man, why is he not picking on me? Like,
right.
I want him to pick on me. Like, I'm ready
like,
to get
I'm
in
ready.
There.
I'm ready to
I'm
go.
Ready. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's go.
Exactly.
And he got to me and he said, Alex, I know you wanted me to pick on you, but I didn't need to. Mm. I'm going to get emotional thinking about this. I didn't need to pick on you. You came in every single day ready to work. He was like, Alex, you were like a big panda rolling down a hill. I wish everybody could see it. I wish I had one of you in every single cohort. And so that's where the name Big Panda came from. Yeah.
I work and have worked in substance use for 16 years. And I know the, not firsthand because I'm not a person in recovery, but I know the stigma that we are constantly fighting against, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people who, no matter how much education they get, they still see a family member struggling and they're like, but why can't they stop? But I don't get it. Like, why is their drug more important than me or more important than their kid or more important than fill in the blank? And I know how misunderstood drug addiction is in 2024. It's gotten a lot better, but it's still stigmatized. It seems to me that you have a double whammy of stigma because you have a cocaine addiction, but you also have a sex addiction, which I think a lot of people could dismiss and think that, oh, well, that's just what he says so that he can cheat, or that's just what, you know, or he's a POS and blah, 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 blah. So it's like this double whammy of stigma that you are fighting against. And I wonder if you could talk me through how you keep your head on straight to fight against that stigma.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first and foremost, the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Like that's why I started the podcast, because my idea of freedom is to go out to and stand up in front of whoever and say, my name is Alex and I'm a recovering sex addict, and not care what you think about me. I'm okay with me. I'm good.
Have you always been like that?
I've always been like an entertainer.
Okay.
So, like, the podcast makes sense. I was always in singing groups growing up.
Okay.
You know, played a lot of sports. But I don't know. I've learned a lot about myself through recovery.
Mm-hmm.
About just, like, being willing to put myself out there when a lot of other people won't. And that's totally okay.
You know, there's
a lot of people in recovery that don't want to talk about it, and that is totally fine. However, I know for me, you know, I truly believe that my higher power has given me a gift, and I'm a vessel. And you know what? I can put myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
No problem, because that's going to help me be okay with me. At the end of the day, that's going to help me be okay with me. And I want to help people too.
Yeah.
I want to help people. So, you know, getting into the rooms, like the S rooms and things like that, and meeting people that
what
are...
What is an S room?
So, sex recovery.
Oh, okay.
S recovery, S addiction.
Got it. Okay, I will be totally honest with you. I know a lot about drug addiction. I don't really know anything about sex addiction.
Yeah.
So...
That's why you got
thank
me on.
You. I know. Well, so thank you for telling me about an S room. Okay,
no problem.
Got it.
So the 12-step, you know, sex addiction recovery meetings that I attend, you know, going in there, I mean, just like drug addiction, all walks of life.
Yeah.
Normal, good people, you know, and so we're not, you know, I remember I was very scared to go to my first recovery meeting, my first 12-step Sex Addicts Anonymous meeting, because you don't know who you're going to meet in there.
Right.
You don't know who you're going to meet, but it's normal people, guys and girls, normal people, you know.
And that's part of why we do the podcasts, your podcast, this podcast, because we want other folks to see that there is no such thing as a typical addict, right? That you can come from quote unquote good families or quote unquote bad families. And what does that even mean anyway, right? And you can be from all socioeconomic statuses and you can be all different colors and shapes and all things. That it happens to everyone for a lot of different but also very similar reasons.
Yeah.
Whether that's trauma, whether that's a feeling of you don't know who you are, feeling isolated, lack of connection, like that's actually the tie that binds us all, really, is our emotions and what happens when those emotions, maybe we don't know how to handle those, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know that it's funny you talk about emotions. One of my biggest tools that I use is a feeling wheel.
Huh.
Like, and...
We do that with little kids, for real.
Well, it's funny. Like, I laugh every time I bring it up. Because, you know, grown man, 35 years old.
Talk about the feeling wheel. Let me get my feeling wheel out.
Hey, like,
it's okay.
But that's, again, like, you know.
Does it help you sort of identify how you're feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, because, you know, there's those four or five major ones. Sad, angry, scared, you know, feeling good, whatever.
Yeah, happy.
Happy, that's it. And... So to be, and like, yeah, sure, growing up, I could probably tell you those things, but I really wasn't in tune with how I was really feeling. But with that feeling wheel, man, I can really break it down. And then when I hit that one that I know, like, I can feel it. And I'm like, okay, I thought that maybe I was this, but I'm actually really this. Oh, okay. And then that gives me a sense of direction. Okay, what can I do for myself to help myself through this? Maybe it is just sitting in this, which is a lot in the program of just like sitting in that uncomfortableness of just like my feelings.
We talk to first and second graders about handling their identifying their uncomfortable feelings because we first talk about them as uncomfortable and comfortable, right? And so that's kind of like the basics. And then you kind of have those four groups. But if you just take angry, for example, well, I can say, like, I'm angry. Am I really angry? Or am I disappointed?
Mm.
Or am I frustrated? Or am I embarrassed? You know, or am I really lonely?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And when we can put those feelings into words, then we can figure out how to manage them and maybe then how to talk to other people about that. I don't know about you, and this is not bashing my parents, but like, I didn't really learn how to do that when I was a kid. They're great parents, but like, I didn't learn how to like identify and process emotion. Did you,
no.
Or is that really something you've learned as an adult in recovery?
As an adult in recovery, again, not bashing my parents.
Totally.
I love my parents.
I think
they
did the best that they knew how to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100% they did. You know, but there's all these different factors that go into it. And, you know, looking back on it now, like, yeah, I wasn't taught. I wasn't taught how to express myself, you know, to trust. I wasn't taught how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, yeah, at an early age, I can still remember this. I found a ripped out page of a porno in the woods. And I said, oh, wow, this feels good. Mm-hmm. And my brain was like, that feels good. So anytime we need to, get away from ourselves or whatever. And I remember like 2 days later going back into the woods, trying to find this
that
crumpled
feeling.
Up, that
yeah.
same feeling. And then it's just been a race ever since, just chasing that. But yeah, I definitely was not taught. Things were swept under the rug. We don't talk about things.
So I'm going to be very honest with you right now. So I invited you on before I really knew that you identify as a cocaine addict and a sex addict. And so I'm prepping for this and I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Not because I am worried about what our listeners are thinking or anything like that, but because like I am uneducated in sex addiction. And by uneducated, what I mean is that I found myself thinking, well, can't he just stop? Like the same things that it makes my skin crawl when people say that about somebody with an alcohol use disorder and an opioid use disorder. And I really had to check some of my shit. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I talked to my peer, our deputy executive director, and I said, like, help me show up in a way that isn't going to be stigmatizing and that is going to be understanding and empathetic. And she said, Nicole, it's the brain. It's what we teach kids. It's you describing finding that piece of pornography and chasing that feeling is exactly what people say when they have their first drink or they take their first, hit of a cigarette or whatever, or they fill in the blank. Like it's the physiological response from dopamine that happens. And when she said that it's about the brain, I was like, duh. Of course it's about the brain. Of course it's about the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Sex addiction, it's not actually about the sex.
Right.
It's an orgasm is the largest dopamine hit the body can get naturally.
It's about the brain.
It's about the brain.
And I am a person who has been in this field for a long time. And I was very disappointed in myself. I was like, Nicole, what the hell are you doing? Like, but it's because I don't have experience with it. I also, like, gambling addiction, like, I can kind of understand that a little bit more because sometimes we have clients who come in who sort of, but sex addiction is also not something that is really talked about that much.
No.
Correct?
Correct. It is not.
I mean, I feel like
drug
addiction is talked about more than sex addiction.
100%. Yeah, totally. And thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah,
I really appreciate
that. Really,
thank you.
I hope you understand
why
I'm saying this. It's
of course.
Like, it is about the brain, stupid. Like, that's what Jenny said to me.
It's funny. Actually, driving over here, I was making phone calls because, I'm nervous, even though I have my own podcast.
Sure, right.
Like, I'm not used to being on this side of the table, And I remember, I was talking to a program friend, and I said, I hope that she looked into my podcast.
Yeah.
I hope that she saw, because we did not talk about it. I just told her, hey, I have a podcast about my recovery, but we did not actually get into the specifics about
it. Right, right,
I really hope that she at least looked at it and said, oh, okay, he's a sex addict. Okay. So
I did, but it took me a little bit. And then I kind of had like an oh shit moment. But again, it's not because of the subject matter. It's because I was uneducated, am uneducated, and I think that I, like a lot of people, just have – what it has done for me is it's been a huge piece of humble pie.
Mm.
Because you think that you know, and you think that you've read, and you've learned, and you blah, 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 and – no, I got so much more to learn. So thank you for understanding why I'm sharing that with you, but also for like taking it in the spirit in which it's intended. And thank you for coming on today, because you're the first guest we've ever had on to talk about who has admitted a sex addiction is what I will say, because I bet you're not the first person who maybe identifies with that, but you're the first person who's admitted it.
No, and thank you for having me on. Like, I'm really, I knew that this was coming, and then when the date finally got here, I was like, oh, I'm really excited to come on. And, you know, it shows the confidence that I have in myself. Like,
totally.
I really wasn't too anxious or nervous. It was like, dude, you know what you're talking about. You're going to go in there, you're going to have a conversation. God's with me. Like, what's going to be said is meant to be said.
Yeah.
And I think that to the not being talked about, I mean, it's very much normalized in today's society for men to look at porn.
Yeah.
For men to lust after strangers. It's very much normalized. So there's a lot of people out there that suffer from this that will never get the help that they need or think that they need. And it's just, it's a big problem.
I have a, so as I was, as I was preparing and as I'm I was, as Jenny checked me on this, I was thinking like, well, I don't know anybody that's, that has a sex addiction. Like, I know people who have shopping addictions and people who have, addictions to food, but I don't know anybody. And then I'm like, yeah, you do. And I recall a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who she has a teen boy, and during COVID, his use of porn really escalated, and she, quote unquote, caught him a couple of times, and he divulged to her that, like, it was all he could think about. And she was mortified, because I don't think she understood it, but also she didn't want to talk to anybody about it because she didn't want it to be seen as like some sort of a judgment on her parenting or on her son, who is a quote unquote good kid and goes to a good school and all the things. And I remember her talking to me about it, saying, like, I just don't know where to go, like, who to talk to. And I think that if we just restrict his access, that it'll get better. And I said, maybe it will, but also, like, maybe we need to talk about, like, the why it's happening.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that I, like, had put that in my brain and hadn't even thought about it until I'm preparing for you to come on today. And I was like, I should really check back in with my friend and see how things are going. Because I think just like with drug addiction, it's like the why.
Yeah.
And we don't need to get into it, but you mentioned that yours was really a result of trauma.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which is the case with a lot of people.
A lot, and it doesn't even have to be, and this is another thing that I learned in treatment, was like the difference between big traumas and little traumas.
And we don't have to, it's not the trauma Olympics. We don't have to compare traumas.
Exactly.
Right? Yes.
And that you can have small traumas, not being validated.
Sure.
Not being, parents not being there emotionally for you. Like, all of those little traumas, like, actually, they add up over time.
It's like death by 1,000 paper cuts.
Exactly. And so that was like a really big thing for me, because I've got both in my story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to my podcast, I do go in deeper into, what I grew up with and what happened to me. But I have both.
Big traumas and little traumas.
They call it hot box, cold box.
Hmm.
And that was the environment that I grew up in. Very confusing, very scary, just really feeling like I was on my own. And, it's totally all, for me and my story, I know that it is totally comes from trauma from childhood.
And I think you have talked about this in your podcast, so I don't want to give too much away, but you've talked about the fact that when you went to treatment for your sex addiction, that sort of opened your eyes to some of the other things that might have been fueling it, and that's what led you to seek assistance for cocaine addiction, correct?
So I had actually tried to get, it was actually kind of the opposite.
Oh, the opposite. Okay, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. So I had actually tried to get clean from cocaine in 2020.
Okay. Okay.
And I mean, it was COVID. So it was, you know, I was on the phone with the counselor.
Like for your own, like you decided?
I decided.
Okay.
I knew that.
There wasn't an intervention or anything like that.
There wasn't an intervention. I actually came clean to the girl that I was dating at the time.
Okay.
And because I had blown her off multiple times.
Oh, that's right. I am remembering that episode. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I was
blowing
her off.
So she kind of knew about that.
She kind of like, women are so intuitive. So intuitive. She knew something was off. And then I eventually came to her and said, hey, I think I got a problem. And she was like, okay, well, you need to get some help. I'm here for you. And I remember even like talking to my counselor saying, yeah, now that I'm like, you know, 45 days clean from coke, like, man, my lusting for strangers has gone up. Like, I don't really want to have sex with my girlfriend. Yeah. I'd rather look at porn. Like, and she's like, well, you know, sometimes these things happen, you know, and I was like, okay, all right. Didn't really think about it. And I wasn't where I needed to be, to get help. And then when I got discovered, and that's in the program, discovery is when your wife or girlfriend or partner, you know, discover what you're doing, whether that be cheating, the porn, whatever it is. But when I got discovered, it was actually my ex that told me, she's like, I think you're a sex addict. And I was like,
That click at that point, or were you
a little bit?
Okay.
I still kind of really wasn't. I heard it, but it just didn't really click.
Are there like a lot of treatment centers for sex addiction?
There's not a whole lot.
Right.
There's not a whole lot.
I'm thinking now that your counselor's sort of dismissal of what you were saying probably comes from a lack of education or training around, I mean, because it's a co-occurring, really, if you
Absolutely.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So probably a lack of training. So when it sort of hits you or sounding like, maybe that's right, then did you seek treatment on your own accord or?
I did. And during all of this, I thought, oh, I've got a coke problem that just takes me to some dark places sexually. Right? And that, you know, if I can stop the coke, then I'm going to stop these other things.
Sure.
Well, and then when that didn't happen, and then when I got discovered, and then I realized, I think I have a sex addiction that's fueled by a cocaine addiction. And so actually, after the discovery, I mean, I went on a 5-day bender.
Yeah.
And it got to the
that
point.
It was heartbreaking when you were describing all of that. Like, I could like feel, I mean, first of all, thank you for your authenticity and sharing your story, because you get very vulnerable in your pod. Like, you get very vulnerable. And talking that through was pretty intense.
It was. And it was also like really good for me too. You know, really, really good for me. One of the things I found out in treatment is that, like, my core need is to be heard. So, of course, I went out and started a podcast.
Yep. That tracks. There you go. You're living into your destiny.
Right, exactly. Like, so, you know, I kind of forgot where we were at with that one.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
How you went on a 5-day bender.
5-day bender. And it was actually my mom that found this treatment center. And it was definitely like the ex that was like, you need treatment. You need to go to treatment. And I was like, okay, fine, I will. You know, all with the hope of like, she's going to come back.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to treatment and I'm going to come back. And that did not happen.
Right.
And that's okay. You know, that's okay.
It's kind of like a middle finger and your fingers crossed at the same time.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So it was actually my mom. It was just a Google search. She found it. I called them the next day.
Now, had your mom known anything about this, or was that a time where, I mean, presumably she knew about your cocaine addiction, but did she know about the other stuff, or was this a time where you're like laying it all out for mom and she's stepping in?
Basically, yeah. We got to a certain age. I've got 4 brothers, so there are a lot of boys there.
Yeah.
A lot of boys. So you're going to come across stuff, right?
Right, sure.
Because some of this stuff was experimental.
Of course.
So, but this was my first time really just laying it all out there. Just because it was like total desperation. you know, I remember coming back and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm up because, you know, I've been doing drugs and I just grabbed the closest bottle to me and I was just like, I want to go to sleep. I don't know what to do. Just total desperation. I literally went up to her room and was like, because I was living with my ex at the time. Mm-hmm. So she kicked me out.
Right.
And literally went up to my mom's room and was like, hey, I need to talk. Whoa. I got to talk. And that is not me. That was not me at that time.
Right.
That was very unlike
me. Because that hadn't been taught and I, you know, talking about your feelings and but that goes back to you being wanting to be heard and needing to be heard. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she comes up and we start talking on the couch and I told her, I said, I think I'm a sex addict and I need help. You know, I need help. And the next day she Googled and gave me a number and I called and
she was there.
And she was there. Yeah, she was.
I mean, yeah. Parents aren't perfect, but no. What's really great is when you reach out to whoever and they're there. You know, I mean, that's pretty, not everybody has that.
No.
So it's one of the things to be grateful for. I see it on your face, like the gratitude that you have, because it makes such a difference when people reach out and have somebody to reach out to that is listening and then puts it into action.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, in recovery and even out of recovery. Knowing that you have somebody.
1,000%. Yes.
Knowing that you have somebody there that you can trust with whatever it is you're going through that's not going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been huge for me in my recovery. Huge.
So what is like your hope with the podcast? Is it just to be heard? Because if that is your hope, that's great, right? Is that for you the end goal? Is it to expand your reach? Is it to, like, what do you hope to achieve and are you achieving it? Maybe that's a better way to say.
My hope is, you know, see how far I can take this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take this, see how far I can spread the message. You know,
Are there other podcasts about sex addiction?
There are.
Okay.
A lot of them are ran by like therapists.
Yeah.
And, you know, or they're like very religious based.
I saw some of those and I was like,
I'm not religious based, you know. So it's out there. But it's not a whole lot. So what I want to do is just bring awareness, is just put it out there. Just keep spreading the message and see where I can take it. I eventually want to get into public speaking, you know, things like that. I'm very open to that and I'd love to do that. Like right now I'm interning to become a recovery coach.
Cool.
So I'm
a recovery coach for people with sex addictions or all recovery and this is my ignorance. I don't know if there's a difference or.
So right now it's substance abuse.
Really?
Substance and alcohol. That's kind of like where you have to start.
Start. Okay.
And it's actually a program ran through SIUE over on the Illinois side.
So a certified peer specialist?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So we employ peers. Shout out to peers. Peers are just, they're the face and the voice of the workforce. Mm-hmm. And I think that they are an incredible assets. And so for any kind of addiction, you start there. And
you start there,
basically, okay.
Or at least this is just kind of how it's presented itself to me.
I get it. I really don't know. So teach me.
So there's a lot I can apply what I'm learning and what I'm dealing with in treatment centers to.
Because there's a lot of overlap. A
lot
right?
of overlap. Again, okay. You know, we're talking what's the underlying, what are the feelings, why are we running, what are we running from? How can we not turn to these things?
Are there 12 steps like there are 12 steps in like AA or NA?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are they the same or are they different?
Worded a little differently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like step one is, you know, I'm powerless over sexual behaviors.
Okay. Okay.
You know, my life became unmanageable.
And there are sponsors.
Yep.
And there are virtual meetings. There are in-person meetings. You have home groups. Like, it's all very similar.
It's okay. All very similar. And I even see what's called a CSAT, a Certified Sex Addiction Therapist.
Yes. Okay.
So there's those as well.
Are there a lot of those in Missouri?
There's a couple in St. Louis.
Okay.
That I know of. And then on the Illinois side, because I live over on the Illinois
right,
side.
Right, that's right.
So I think she was originally based out of like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now she lives in Collinsville. So
you're working to get your CPS credential,
yeah. mm-hmm.
okay, which
mm-hmm.
is super cool.
Yeah.
So do you then want to work in the field full time? Do you just want to kind of like help other people? Like, what's your dream? Again,
my dream.
Not
mm-hmm.
saying that today isn't your dream, right? Like, I also understand gratitude and living in today and being happy for every moment. And I recognize that people in recovery can have goals too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
like
and
you know what I mean?
What's
like,
funny is like I used to look at goals early on in recovery as future tripping.
And when I ask those questions, I don't want to like trip people up. I don't want to make it sound like you shouldn't be grateful for this minute. But also, like, you get to have a 5-year plan.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to have dreams and goals.
Right.
And,
I mean, you get to do both.
Yeah.
Both things can be true at the same
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
Yes.
And same with, you know, feelings as well.
Yes.
Like, you can feel conflicting feelings at the same time, which was, like, mind-blowing to me. So the goal with all of this is get certified. I'll be certified later on this year.
Whoop, whoop.
And so I'm already, like, really, really loving the work.
Love it.
Dealing with people, running groups. I mean, I'm very much I have no problem getting up in front of people and talking.
Clearly.
And you know, what's nice about, again, the feelings and the emotions is, like, okay, I've never been in your shoes. And, you know, yours looks a little different, but tell me how you were feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You were feeling lonely?
Right. I know how that feels.
I know how that feels. I can relate to that. Mm. I can relate to that. Also, too, you know, there's just a level, hoping to bring some awareness in the treatment center that I'm at around sex addiction.
Right.
Because there's been plenty of guys in there that's how I start all my groups. Hey, guys, I'm Alex. I'm a recovering sex addict and cocaine addict. This is what we're going to talk about in group today.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had plenty of guys come up to me and be like, hey man, I've never told anybody this, but because you shared it, I feel comfortable sharing it. Now, I don't know what, you know, it's up to them what they do with that.
Correct.
Not up to me, but at least I'm kind of like planting
some seeds.
So the goal is with all of this to, you know, and a lot could happen between now and then.
Of course.
My goal is to eventually move into the S community as a peer support specialist.
Cool.
And
are there a lot of those?
Mm,
I know I keep asking that because I really, like, I'm sorry.
No,
don't. You're educating me, but I don't know about this world. So are there a lot of peer specialists in the S community, or are they like a peer specialist in the drug field and also in the...
They're out there.
Okay.
They're out there. Because I know there's like porn coaches. Because you can break sex addiction down to porn addiction, love addiction.
Oh,
so like you can, because there's guys or girls that porn is their thing.
Mm,
they'll sit
okay.
down and go 10-hour benders on porn. Yeah.
Okay.
That,
sorry, I shouldn't have. Sorry.
That I mean,
should
it's
not have
no,
made
it's
that face.
It's
that's okay.
a lot.
That's a commitment. Okay.
Yeah, and. Me, that wasn't really my stick. I mean, unless I was on the coke, then
okay.
that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't really porn. Porn was almost like, all right, well, I didn't get that physical intimacy mm-hmm. that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'll resort to porn, and all right, this will do. So there's porn, love.
The love addiction.
And the love addiction. And so there's porn coaches, sex addiction coaches, just kind of all over. Actually, I've had one on my podcast, Melissa Colleen. She was kind of like one of the first ones
mm-hmm.
To kind of get into that space back in the early 2000s, mid 2000s. But overall dream would be to have my own coaching business
cool.
running the podcast. That's what I want to do.
Awesome.
That's what I want to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, and if that's what you want to happen, I feel like it's going to happen because of what you've manifested this far. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think what you said earlier just so rings true to me. It's that you can have two feelings at the same time. I complete honesty, like I had never before felt extreme sadness, melancholy sadness, and extreme happiness, excitement at the same time. Mm. I've had like relief and sadness, or relief and, or you know, bittersweet, but bittersweet is different than holding two feelings at the yeah. same time,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And I think that the fact that you are a 30-something-year-old man who is sitting here talking about feelings and talking about goals and hopes and, you know, feelings of inadequacy and talking, pouring your heart out to your mom, like that to me is like what makes me hopeful about the future, right? Not just for you, but just in general, that yeah. we can sit here and have a conversation about all these things
yeah.
and leave and be like, that felt really good.
Yeah.
Not to go in the elevator and go, oh, I can't believe I said that. But to like, seriously, just be like,
yeah,
that felt really good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I am. What did I not ask you that you thought I was going to ask you? Was there anything that you were like, ooh?
Honestly, no.
Okay.
No, I don't know. There really wasn't.
Because you're such an open book.
I am.
But I really want people to go and listen to your pod.
Yeah, please do.
Like, I don't want to go into like your whole story because I want people to listen to the pod.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've got some great guests on.
You do.
Some really good therapists. And there's more to come out. I want to do more stuff around like portrayed partners.
Mm.
Because there's a whole other field for betrayed partners that isn't talked about. Is, you know, you want to say sex addiction is not talked about, betrayed
yeah.
partners, you know, and I have betrayed partners that listen to my show
mm-hmm.
that reach out to me and tell me, hey, I love the podcast. And you want to talk about gratitude? Like, wow, you went through an experience where you were betrayed. But then you're going to turn around and you're going to listen to my I was the one that did that. I was the one that dealt that hand to somebody else, multiple people. And you're going to turn around and you're going to listen to my podcast because you want to hear what I have to say. Like, wow, that means a lot to me. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
The future is bright, my friend.
It is.
It is bright.
It is. To the moon.
To the moon. How is the house hunt coming? Or are you continuing to save and...
Continuing to save, you know,
cool.
going back to school, because that happened in
good for you.
July of last year. So it was like, all right, let's kind of put this on hold. And then I eventually took over my own studio. So I have my own studio Boop. where we record out of and everything like that. So I was like, you know what, right now,
I need to
kind of pull back because I'm...
But even talking through those kinds of things on your pod, like talking about like, you know, like I really want to buy a house, but you know what? I talked with like a coach and I'm really trying to think through like what makes the most sense and like paying off debt and like that kind of stuff we don't talk about,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And you definitely, we don't talk about it with friends, much less on a podcast for total strangers to listen to.
Right.
But I was like listening to you as I'm brushing my teeth and I'm like, yeah, you know, like he's right. That really like that makes total sense because I'm in a similar situation where I'm kind of trying to figure out like what my next move is. And it's like, I just find you very relatable is what I'm trying
yeah,
to
thank
say.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's the compliment I'm trying to give.
Thank
and
you.
I'm sort of stepping all over myself, but that's the compliment I'm trying
thank
to
you,
give.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. We have to be honest with ourselves around like, what's my capacity here?
Yeah.
What's my capacity for all these different things? And I'm very much a distractaholic as well. Like you want childhood, right? Childhood. Don't sit on the couch and be a couch potato. You've got practice. You've got games. We've got church. Go outside and play. Go outside and play. So here I am as an adult. All right, go, go, go. Because one, I don't want to sit with my feelings.
Heard.
Because
yes.
that's not fun.
Right.
Who wants to do that?
Who wants to do that?
So I can very much stretch myself thin, which then puts me in my addiction because what do I know to do to relieve
stress and
that
to,
stress
to get a dopamine
and take the edge off.
That's right.
Well, I know where I can go. I know where I can go.
I am so grateful to you for being on today. I am really grateful that I have found the No Lions Here podcast. I really could not be more grateful that you were wearing that amazing t-shirt.
I had to wear it.
And then I came up to you and I was like, I need my picture with you because it's pretty amazing. So thank you so much for being here. Please listen to No Lions Here. It is wonderful and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. Right?
Yeah, Spotify, iTunes.
Yep. And you're on YouTube now.
On YouTube now. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay. If you liked what you heard, please consider rating or subscribing or give us a review. Tell us, you know, now that you've listened to No Lions Here after listening to today, tell us what you thought about their podcast, about his podcast, and just let's keep the conversation going because this is how we all collectively like get healthy.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Conversations help us get healthy.
Break the silence.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us at The Preventable, brought to you ad-free by PreventEd. PreventEd works to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education, intervention, and advocacy. Please visit their website at PreventEd.org. Like what you heard? Rate, review, and subscribe to stay up to date with what we are serving on The Preventable.